For more information about Ancient Dragon Zen Gate and Tygon's teaching, please visit us at ancientdragon.org.
So for our last major presenter, very special honored guest who's done so much to disseminate Dogen studies and translations and understanding of Dogen, has a recent outstanding book, Realizing Genjo Koan. Let's give a warm welcome to Shohaku Okamura.
Of English, so please forgive me, you know, my poor English. I really appreciate all the people's hard work to organize this meaningful gathering. I think I was invited because I have been working on translation. This is not my wish. I mean, I lived in Massachusetts from 1975 to 81. During that time, you know, we tried to establish a small Zen community there in Western Massachusetts, and we didn't have so many texts. And one time someone brought a translation of Dogen Zenji's Fukanza Zenki. And when I read that English translation, I didn't believe this was written by Dogen. That was why I tried to make my own translation. That was the first translation work for me. After that, you know, there are so many translations were made by many people, and we have almost all writings of Dogen translated into English. I really appreciate, and I'm really happy about that. So I feel now I don't need to translate anymore. So I feel released. Anyway, so I don't need to be here anymore. When I was invited to be a speaker of this gathering, Shotai gave me this flyer of this conference. And when I read the title, Bringing Dogen Down to Earth, you know, actually this morning Shotai said, a Japanese asked a question about this title, that was me. When I read this Bringing Dogen Down to Earth, I felt this is strange, because it sounds like Dogen is up on the earth, and we are down to I'm up on the air, and we are on the earth. So it seems like we ask Dogen to come down. But I don't think that is true. I believe, you know, Dogen has been already, always sitting on the earth, on the ground. And we are living about 5 to 6 feet above the ground. So we need to go down to Earth, not Dogen. That was my kind of a question or feeling about when I first read this, bringing Dogen down to Earth. And then about when I spoke about this question at my temple, someone said to me, "Did you see Dogen movie? The movie we Professor Haim showed us this morning. When Dogen attained so-called Shinjin Datsuraku, or a dropping of body and mind experience, Dogen went up to the outer space." Do you remember that scene? And that person said, "Probably Dogen is still in the space." I don't think so. Actually, I didn't like that film because one of the reasons I don't appreciate that movie is that scene of Dogen's experience of dropping off the body and mind. So I'd like to talk about my understanding of what is the earth on which Dogen is walking, staying, sitting, and lying down. And I think that earth is, we are already there. That is my conclusion. And in Shobo Genzo Immo, I don't know if that is the best English translation of Immo. Some translation is thusness or suchness or
like
as it isness or like thisness, like business. But in Shobo Genzo Immo, he wrote, "If we fall down because of the ground or earth, we get up depending on the ground. If we seek to stand up apart from the ground, there is no possibility to the end." So we fall down on the ground, we have to stand up on the ground. There's no place we can stand up, and nothing we can rely on beside this ground or the earth. So what is this earth is what I have been thinking. And I think this ground or earth on which Dogen has been sitting and practicing and teaching and lighting so many kind of strange lightings, it's nothing special. It's a very down-to-earth reality of our life that is impermanence. Impermanence and no self or illnessness. Well, to think about this, I'd like to talk about Dogen's teaching on arousing bodhicitta or body mind or bodhi shin. This is because I had genzoe. I usually have 4 genzoe a year. Genzoe is a gathering to study Shobo Genzo. And during genzoe, I did 2 lectures a day, 2 90-minute lectures a day for 5 days in English. So it's really difficult for me, but to freely discuss about Dogen's writing, I think we need so much time. So after I feel, I don't need to translate, work on translation anymore. This, talking about my understanding of Dogen's writing, especially Shobo Genzo, is my main focus. Anyway, this year I studied Shobo Genzo Hotsu Mujo Shin, or arousing unsurpassable mind, at Chapel Hill Zen Center. And I had another again, so in Sweden, and there I talked about Hotsubodaishin. Hotsubodaishin is arousing body mind, and actually those two, Hotsumujoshin and Hotsubodaishin, originally had the same title, and according to the colophon, those two were written on the same day. That is kind of strange. But anyway, I talk about those two fascicles of Shobukenzo later. First, I'd like to introduce Fat Dogen taught about arousing body mind or body citta. Often this is translated as aspiration to study Dharma and practice Dharma. Those first two texts are part of the of Dogen's early teachings. One is from Zemonki, and another is from Gakudo Yojinshu. Dogen Zenji has already spoken. Dogen established his first monastery in Fukakusa in 1233. And a few years later, he wrote Gakudo Yojinshu, or the points to watch in practicing or studying the way. And Gakudo Yojinshu is a collection of 10 independent essays about things monks need to keep in their mind when they practice Buddha way with Dogen, because that was really so shortly after he established his own monastery. You know, people came to practice with him, didn't really know what was the style of practice and what is most important point to practice with Dogen. So this Gakudo Yojinshu is a kind of a manual for newcomers. Actually, everyone is newcomers. And another text, Zuimonki, was not written by Dogen, but recorded by one of his major disciples, Ejo, while he just joined Dogen's Sangha to understand the point of Dogen's teachings. And when Dogen gave an informal Dharma talk, at that time, Koshoji has no formal Dharma hall. So Dogen gave informal talk to the monks, and Ejo recorded those informal talks that later became Zuimonki. And so both Zuimonki and Gakudo Yojinshu, we can understand what Dogen taught when he started to practice at his own monastery. At that time he was 34 or 5, still very young person. And in Zuimonki, he talked about his own experience when he studied and practiced at Tendai Monastery. First, he said how he allows body mind. That is a starting point of this talk. He said, "I first allowed body mind because of impermanence." So he said, "I allowed bodhicitta because of his seeing impermanence." Actually, in the biography, he said his mother was died when he was 8 years old, and 7 years old. And it said his father died when he was 2 years old, but today's Soto scholars had a question if that person who died when he was two was really his father or not. Many people today think that was that person was his grandfather, not father. If so, his father was alive until 1227, the year Dogen came back from China. So the image of his childhood became different. He was not the orphan. Anyway, he became a Tendai monk when he was 13 years old because of his seeing impermanence. And he continued. I visited many places, both near and far, to find a true teacher, and eventually left the monastery on Mount Hiei, that is, the Tendai monastery, to practice the way. So he left the monastery to practice the way. This sounds strange to me, but that was the reality of the monastery when Dogen was there. Mount Hiei was really a good place to live. So many Buddhist leaders left that monastery and became the founder of so-called Kamakura New Buddhism. And Dogen was one of them. Anyway, so he left the monastery to practice away. Finally, I settled at Kenninji, that was the Zen monastery Dogen practiced with Myozen later. Finally, I settled at Kenninji. During that time, since I hadn't met a true teacher nor any good co-practitioners, I became confused and evil thought arose. First of all, my teachers taught me that I should study as hard as our predecessors in order to become wise and be known at the court. Court means the emperor's court. And famous all over the country. So his teacher encouraged him to study Buddhism and practice hard to become a great teacher known among the aristocracies. And if so, he could be a teacher of the emperor. So when I studied the teachings, I thought of becoming equal to the ancient wise people of this country, or to those who received the title of Daishi, or a great teacher, was the honorific title given by the emperor. When I read the Kosozen, or Dogu Kosozen, those are Chinese collection of biographies of Chinese eminent ones, and so on, and learned about the lifestyle of eminent monks and the followers of the Buddha Dharma in Great China, I found they were different from what my teachers taught. I also began to understand that such a mind as I had aroused was despised and hated in all the sutras, shastras, and biographies. Having realized this truth, I considered those in this country with titles such as Great Teacher or Daishi as so much dirt to broken times. If teenager nervous monk had this kind of idea against those great people who received the title Daishi or Great Teacher, such as Saicho or Kuka, those great masters, it was, I think, difficult to stay. I think that was one of the reasons he left the monastery and to study to practice Zen. At that time, Zen was something very new in Japan. Anyway, this is the first talk about his own experienced. And he mentioned he practiced and he started to practice because of seeing impermanence. That was his body-mind, way-seeking mind. But the way his teacher taught to practice and study hard to become a great famous teacher, according to him when he was a teenager, was almost opposite, not almost, completely opposite. And Dharma teaching or Buddhist teaching is about becoming free from desire for fame and profit. But at that system in Buddhist order, his teachers taught you have to study and practice hard to fulfill your desire to become famous teacher. If you become famous teacher, you know, of course, profit are also followed. So he left the monastery and practiced them with Myozen and went to China together with his teacher and received transmission and went back to Japan. And in 1933, he founded his own monastery in Fukakusa named Koshoji. And as I said, he wrote Gakudo Yojinshu. And the very first section of Gakudo Yojinshu was the necessity of arousing bodhicitta, way-seeking mind. And in Gakudo Yojinshu, he said, this bodhicitta, body-mind, is the mind that sees impermanence. Let me read a few paragraphs from Gakudo Yojinshu. Although there are many names for body-mind, they all refer to the one mind. The ancestral tea master Nagarjuna said that the mind that solely sees the impermanence of this world of constant appearance and disappearance is called body-mind. So this is Nagarjuna's definition of body-mind. Therefore, for now, I think it would be appropriate to talk about body-mind as the mind that sees impermanence. Truly, when you see impermanence, egocentric mind, egocentered mind, does not arise. Neither does desire for fame and profit. So here, important point is seeing impermanence. By seeing impermanence, we see that there is no such thing called self. So that we cannot be self-centered. Therefore, we are free, liberated from desire for fame and profit. That is the logic of Dogen about body-mind. And another point of Dogen about body-mind in Gakudo Yojinshu is because of impermanence, we may die any time. So there's no time to waste. We have to really practice, most important practice, without wasting any moment. So those 4 points, seeing impermanence, being free from self-centeredness, and being free from desires for fame and profit, and practice diligently. That is what thinking or thought about arousing bodhicitta. So bodhicitta is a motivation to practice. Then these two texts is from his early career of as a teacher. But even later, after he moved to Echizen, body mind or awakening mind is an important issue. And I introduce three texts belongs to this period of Dogen's life after moved to Echizen. One of them is Chizu Shingi. Chizu Shingi is one of the six independent parts of Eihei Shingi. Shingi is a pure regulation, but Dogen's Shingi was very unique. As Professor Fox said, his Shingi is not same as other Shingi. Other Shingi is a kind of a collection of rules, and collection of rules are not so juicy in terms of Dharma. But his writing within Shingi, like Tendo Kyokun and even Chizu Shingi, is really nutritious about Dharma. In Chizu Shingi, he collect many koan stories of Chinese masters who served as one of the temple administrators. Anyway, in the section of Kanning, Kanning is director of the monastery, he discussed about this mind, body mind, but there, the word Dogen used is not Bodai-shin, but Do-shin. Do is way and Shin is mind. But in this case, this Do or Dao is a translation of body or awakening. So Do-shin or way, mind of the way or way mind is another translation of bodhicitta. And in that section of Chizu Shingi about the director, Dogen wrote as follows. What is called the mind of the way or Do-shin is not to abandon or scatter about the great way of the Buddha ancestors, but deeply to protect and esteem their great way. Therefore, having abandoned fame and gain and departed your homeland. This is the same word Taiden-san mentioned, home village. Consider gold as excrement and honor as spittle. Consider gold, that is profit, as excrement, and honor the fame as spittle. And without obscuring the truth or obeying falsehood, maintain the regulation of right and wrong. So there is right and wrong. And entrust everything to the guideline for conduct. After all, not to sell cheaply or debase the worth of the ordinary tea and rice, or the Buddha ancestors, tea and rice of the Buddha ancestors' house is exactly the mind of the way. Furthermore, reflecting that inhalation does not wait for exhalation also is the mind of the way and is diligence. So again, he says the same thing. We should see impermanence, that means no time to waste, and being free from our desire for fame and profit. and value and maintain the style, practice style of Buddhas and ancestors. He says, you know, the ordinarity and rice. Ordinarity and rice means we eat rice 3 times a day. And we drink tea every day. So this is really nothing special. So we should need to value this nothing special day-to-day practice without making that practice as a kind of a commercial goods. Mm-hmm. But sometimes Zen is sold as a commercial goods. Today. Not only today, but in even Dogen's time or even in China. So that is another teaching of Dogen about the body-mind. And finally, I talked about those two chapters of Shobokenzo, Hotsumujoshin and Hotsubodai-shin. In Hotsumujoshin, or arousing unsurpassable mind, Dogen said, this mind is a mind which is identical with all beings within the entire Dharma world. And he says, this is a Kare Bjuerfeld translation of Hotsumujoshin. He says, the first ancestor of Shinastana, that means China, said, each mind is like trees and rocks. Mind here is mind is like. It is the mind of whole earth. This is this body mind, or unsurpassable mind, is a mind of the entire earth. Therefore, it is a mind of self and others. This is a mind including self and others. Each mind of the humans of the whole earth, as well as of the Buddhas and ancestors, and of the devas and dragons of all the world of 10 directions. These are trees and rocks. There is no mind apart from them, apart from each and every beings within this Dharma world. These trees and rocks are by their nature not cooped up in the realm of being and non-being, emptiness and form. With this mind of trees and rocks, we bring forth the mind, practice and verify, for they are trees of mind, rocks of mind. Through the power of these trees of mind and rocks of mind, the present thinking of not thinking. If you are familiar with Dogen's Fukanza Zengi, thinking of not thinking means Awazazen, is realized. Upon hearing the sound of the wind in the trees of mind and rocks of mind, we first transcend the followers of the alien ways. Before that, it is not the way of the Buddha. So if we practice the Buddha's way, we have to practice all things with this mind that is one with all beings, trees and grasses and everything. And after and the rest of Hotsumujoshin, he said each and every concrete activity, such as constructing temple buildings, or making Buddha statues, or offering flowers, and many other things we can practice as an offering. This offering is a translation of Japanese or Chinese expression, kuyo. Ku means to offer, and yo is to sustain. So in order to sustain the Dharma, we make offering. And not only those materials or activities, but our practice of Zazen is one of the offerings, as it is said in the Lotus Sutra. Almost everything for the sake of Dharma is offerings or kuyo. So in Hotsu Mujoshi, probably because this was written several 5 days before the groundbreaking ceremony of the new monastery in Echizen. Finally, I'd like to introduce what Dogen said, only important point about in Shobogenzo Hotsu Bodaishin. This is, even though the date in the colophon is the same date with Hotsu Mujoshin, but this Hotsu Bodaishin is part of 12th fascicular version of Shobogenzo. Usually consider this was written after 1248, when after Dogen came back from Kamakura. I'm not sure exactly when, but in the later years of Dogen's life, he planned to make Shobogenzo as a collection of 100 volumes. And he wrote 12 volumes after 75 fascicular version was compiled. And the final one, 12th, was Hachidai Ningaku, that is the teaching, the final teaching of Shakyamuni Buddha. And when he wrote that chapter of Shobogenzo in 1253, he knew he was dying. Anyway, so usually these 12 fascicles were written in his later years. And so I think Hotsu Bodaishin was written later than Hotsu Mujoshin. And in Hotsu Bodaishin, he said, we are the bodhicitta using a thinking mind, or ryochishin. Thinking mind is our usual discriminating mind. Even though bodhicitta or bodhisattva is not a thinking mind, but we use thinking mind to arouse body mind. And also he again put emphasis on the impermanence. He introduced this this term, kshana. Kshana is a very shortest period of time. It said, in 1 second, said, 75 kshana was there. So really short period of time. But within this short moment, everything is appearing, staying for a while, changing and disappearing, and repeat this process. And we cannot see, of course we cannot see, you know, that things changing, because we cannot see the kshana, that you know, short period of time of changing everything. We think things continue. That's why we cannot see impermanence, really. Impermanence is a kind of idea or a concept we study, and it sounds reasonable, so we believe from Buddhist teachings, but we don't really see the reality of impermanence through our eyes, because one moment is really short. But he said it is important to believe or trust. Here, another point, we need a faith in Buddhist teaching. Because we can see the reality, we need trust what Buddha taught. So he says, whether we wish in our mind or not, being pulled by our past karma. The transmigration within the cycle of life and death continues without stopping for a single kshana. With the body and mind that is transmigrating in this manner through the cycle of life and death, we should without fail arouse the body mind of failing others before ourselves. Even if on the way of arousing the body mind we hold our body and mind dear, it is born, grows old, becomes sick and dies. After all, it cannot be our own personal possession. So even our body and mind is not our personal possession. So we need to be liberated, free from this clinging to the self that is always self-centered because we cannot see the truth or reality of impermanence. And yet he said, while being within this swiftness of rising and arising and perishing of transmigration in each kshana, if we allow one single thought of failing others before oneself, this failing others before oneself is Jimi Tokudo Sendota in Chinese or Japanese. This means this is a bodhisattva vow to usually translated into English as save. To save others before we are saved. That means to help others to cross over this river between samsara and nirvana before we ourselves cross over. That means bodhisattva's work or practice to as a bodh person to help others cross the river before the person cross. So this is another important point, to help others before ourselves. So in all those texts, Dogen's idea about body mind or awakening mind or our motivation or energy to study and practice is very clear. That is, seeing impermanence, being free from self-centeredness, therefore work for others and make offerings to three treasures, Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, and work, practice, study without wasting time. That means we should be diligent. And finally, in Hotsu Bodhisattva, Dogen introduced Nagarjuna's definition of what is the obstacle or hindrance to arouse body mind. And Nagarjuna said there are four things, and those four things are called demons. Ma, demons, or in Sanskrit, Mara. And those four are, according to Nagarjuna, delusions, our delusive ideas, and five aggregates means five skandhas: form, sensation, perception, formation, and consciousness. Those are our body and mind. He said this is the obstacle. This is Mara. I think this is really interesting. And the third is Shima. Shima is death, is demon. And the fourth is Tenshima, or celestial demon. This celestial demon, or Tenshima, was Mara, that visited Shakyamuni Buddha right before he attained awakening. Anyway, finally, Nagarjuna said, even though there are four kinds of demons or Mara, there are actually only one kind. And you know what is the one kind? That is five skandhas. According to Hotsubo Daishin, Shobogenzo Hotsubo Daishin, you know, the obstacle of our arising bodhicitta is five skandhas. Our own body and mind, that means ourselves, we are them, we are Mara. This is, to me, this is really interesting, especially when I compare, you know, this conclusion with what he said in the very first fascicle of Shobo Genzo, the earliest fascicle of his writing as a part of Shobo Genzo, that is Makahanya Haramitsu, or Mahaprajna Paramita. This is a kind of comments, Dogen's comment on the Heart Sutra. And in the very beginning of the Heart Sutra, I mean Makahanya Haramitsu, he kind of a paraphrase of the first sentence of the Heart Sutra, and he wrote that time. This is the first sentence of Shobo Genzo Makahanya Haramitsu. He says, the time of Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva practicing profound Prajnaparamita is the whole body clearly seeing the emptiness of all five aggregates. I think all of you are familiar with Heart Sutra, so we can see this is paraphrasing of the word in the Heart Sutra. Dogen put only one word, actually in English two words, whole body, in the sentence of the Heart Sutra. And this two word, whole body, I think is important. Anyway, he continues. The five aggregates, the five skandhas, the five aggregates are form, sensation, perception, formation, and consciousness. And next is interesting. This is a five-fold prajna. You know, five skandhas are five-fold prajna. Clear seeing is itself prajna. To unfold and manifest this essential truth, the Heart Sutra states that form is emptiness, emptiness is form. Form is nothing but form, emptiness is nothing but emptiness. 100 blades of grass, 10,000 things. Here, Dogen said five skandhas are prajna, but in Nagarjuna said five skandhas are mara. I think this is really interesting. I mean, in the case of Makahanya Haramitsu, not only five skandhas are prajna paramita, but also, you know, this Avalokiteshvara is also five skandhas, because Avalokiteshvara said, or Kanjidai Bosatsu said, he sees only five skandhas. There's nothing other than five skandhas. So that means Avalokiteshvara, him or herself, is five skandhas. There's nothing beside five skandhas. that means five skandhas can be Avalokiteshvara and also can be Mara. To me, this is a really important point of not only Dogen's but entire Buddhism. That means our body and mind that is impermanent and no fixed self in it. When we cannot see the emptiness of five skandhas become Mara. But when we see the emptiness of five skandhas is Prajna and is Avalokiteshvara. So to me, you know, these five skandhas, especially impermanence of five skandhas, is the earth. And on which, you know, Dogen practice, study, and teach. He was born on that ground and lived there, and he died on that ground, the impermanence of five skandhas. And we are all have the same five skandhas, which can be either Mara or Avalokiteshvara, depending upon if we grasp, cling to five skandhas as me, as most important things, the world of the center of the universe, and do things based on this self-centeredness. You know, this is really Mara. But when we see emptiness of five skandhas, really see the emptiness of five skandhas, this five skandhas is the only thing we can use to study and practice and work for the Dharma. So to me, this five skandhas is only earth. And on the ground of this earth, we sometimes fall down and we stand up and we continue, you know, this endlessly. So his expression of Shinjin Datsuraku, or body and mind, or dropping off body and mind. Here, you know, Shinjin is nothing other than five skandhas. To me, this is important. If we understand what Shinjin Datsuraku means, when we don't see the emptiness of five skandhas become Mara. And when we see the emptiness of five skandhas become Avalokiteshvara. How this transformation is possible? In my understanding and practice, this turning point, this pivotal point of transformation is Shikantaza, or just sitting. So, to me, Dogen's, the earth on which Dogen was born, living, studying, practicing, and dying is just these five skandhas. Nothing, you know, on the earth or beyond this world. It's about our life, how to use this life. And, yeah, I think.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for that wonderful talk. And as you know, we're going to have a free floating discussion, but are there any one or two quick questions here? Yes. Yeah, please. Yeah, more.
Very much for your talk. I think several of us didn't quite hear what you said about Nagarjuna's four demons, Damara. Could you repeat them, please?
Four demons. First one is Bonnoma, that is our delusive idea, our desire, delusions. Second is five skandhas. And third is
I knew it.
That's Shima. And the fourth is Tenshima. That Tenshima, that is celestial or heavenly being, that is the heavenly being residing in the highest heaven, called Daijizaiten.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Please.
I do have a question. What is the purpose of enmity? The mind is identical with all beings. Like, how does that connect with the five aggregates? Like, is there a linking between the two?
Yes. Five aggregates is not my possession or our possession as Dogen says. These five aggregates are also coming and going. My body, any part of my body, and any part of my thinking are coming and going. Nothing stays with me as Shohaku forever. So this is really connected with all beings. Does it make sense?
Yes. Okay. Difficult, but yeah, it makes sense.
So to be one with all beings means there's nothing separate from all beings as a fixed entity called Shohaku or self.
One more, yeah.
In the conventional truth, we are told that we need to put the oxygen mask first on us, and then help others, like when we are in the aircraft. You are saying that we have to help others cross first. How do I reconcile the two?
Actually, there's no such order. I think when we help others, we are helped. I think. So, and actually, there's no such river between samsara and nirvana. The first of the four bodhisattva vows is all beings are numberless, we vow to save them. I know many American people don't like this word save, but this save or do in Japanese or Chinese means to cross over. So this first vow means I don't cross over this river and enter nirvana until all others entered nirvana. But this is strange, this is really strange vow to me. If all beings are bodhisattvas, who is there? Everyone said, you should go first. And everyone to stay this way. So nirvana is empty. That means all bodhisattvas are working within this shore. So, and when all beings are, or bodhisattvas working with this attitude, then this shore becomes nirvana. That means there's no such separation between samsara and nirvana, only this place, right now, right here.
Okay, well, thank you again.